How many of you are glad to know, confess, and be a part of a God that is worthy? You know that. That's inside of you. Well, I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 31. And I want us to capture some points of truth. And I believe that you're going to have to anchor down and know what you believe if you're going to be a follower of Christ in this moment of time. Oh, by the way, have you noticed? It's not popular to be Christian. Nothing new. Never has been. It just never has been. In fact, I heard the term in all the espousing of information this week. There are two Christianese. There's a plan. I want you to know that God does have a plan. And, you know, and a lot of people think it's just random. How many of y'all are just living random? You're thankful to get up on Monday and you hope you get to Friday and you're just kind of going through the motions. I want you to know, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't have to be that way. I believe God has a plan. I believe God knew what He was doing when He said, "Let there be light," and He's got it all figured out. Now that allows us to do this. You and I, through the grace of Jesus Christ, get to be a part. We get to be a part of revealing God's glory. Are you there at verse 31? Look at what's going to happen. God is going to come back. How many of y'all believe that? That one day there's going to be a final moment. Huh? There's going to be a moment God says, "I'm coming back." Now, I don't know when it's going to be. And, you know, you can listen to these preachers that draw circles and lines and they try to predict when the end of time is. But I can go ahead and save you $39.95. They don't know either. There's a lot of them that got rich, but they missed the boat on their prediction. And here's why. It is not our function as followers of Christ to worry about when He's coming back. It's to live in such a way that when He comes back, everything's all right. See the difference? Which is, I want to get caught doing something that God's called me to do. What do you think? Like, right now, if God came back on Sunday, I'd feel a lot better than if He came back during the week. I'd like to be caught singing, praising, and worship. What about you guys? I'd like to be caught in an activity that God's calling me to. During the week, He might catch me doing some other things. What do you think? Any of y'all got that problem? But right now, I'd be all right. But I want you to know, God is coming back. Look what He says, verse 31. When, not if, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. This is pretty cool. God's not coming back the second time like He came the first time. The first time, God came to connect us in grace. The second time, He comes to confirm the connection. Isn't that neat, Pam? First time, He came to save us and let us know there's a way. Let us know that we can be connected to the glory of God. When Jesus comes again, He comes as a King in all of His glory. Now, I'm going to let you know. There's some of you sitting there going, "Oh, how do you know? How do you not know?" I'm going to go ahead and take the risk that He's coming. What do you think? I'm going to go ahead and say, you know what? I'm going to believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, even if the world thinks that's foolish. And they do think that's foolish. It's not scientific. It's not sophisticated. It doesn't flow with the modern, postmodern philosophy. Because here's what Jesus says, "I'm absolute." He says, "I'm absolutely coming." When the Son of Man comes in all of His glory and all the angels with Him. That's going to be pretty neat, isn't it? How many of y'all glad to know Jesus, when He comes back as King, is going to be packing the angels? And they're coming in all of His glory. And then here's what He's going to do. And I want you to know, everybody's going to be judged. But here's what I want you to know right now. If you're a follower with Jesus Christ, you've already been judged. I mean, I'm glad to know you've been judged righteous. Because God loves you. And because God has forgiven you. That's what you saw in the baptistry. You saw some beautiful young ladies confessing their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what was happening right there? Wow! They were connected to heaven. You saw it live right here in Bowling Green, Kentucky. It's that real. Because one day, there's going to be a finality to history. Now, we've kind of forgotten history, in my opinion. But you know what? There's a plan to history. I'm not panicked. I hear everybody's panicked right now. Everybody's panicked about the economy. How many of y'all have lived a little while? They come and they go, and they ebb and they flow. This is life. How many of y'all are married? Some days that's fabulous, isn't it? In other days, it's just a day to get through. Amen? And we hang on, but there's a plan that God wants to reveal His glory through you. Now, here's what I want you to know. It's going to be tough. Y'all ready? Just tell your neighbor this is going to be tough. Go ahead and prepare them for this. Come on, tell your neighbor. Talk among yourselves. It's going to be tough. God draws a line. Now, a lot of you all have the Barney God. I understand you grew up with Barney, and a lot of you all are snack children. No matter what you did, you still got a snack playing ball. A lot of you participated in participation trophy land where you got a trophy whether you stunk or not. That's not the way God works. You either are or you are not. And there's a line drawn. Now, here's what I want you to know. Only the shepherd can distinguish between who is and who is not. So kind of can I get down and just talk Kentucky to you so we can get this? It ain't your business to figure out who's one of his. It is your business to be following God. You know, I got a lot of my colleagues, they spend a lot of their ministry time trying to figure out who's saved and who's not. And I laugh at them. I go, you don't know. You're not smart enough to know. Only the shepherd knows the sheep. And you and I aren't shepherds. We sheepdogs. Now, the dog can know the shepherd, but he can't make the call the shepherd makes. Jesus is the King. It says when the Son of Man, that's Jesus, comes in all His glory, that's His glory, not our glory, then He will make a separation. However, I want you to know clearly today, there is a separation. There is a difference between those who have received Jesus Christ and those who have not received Jesus Christ. Okay? If you have not received Jesus Christ, you will not be with the Son of Man when He comes in all of His glory. He said, well, Pastor Steve, I've been a good person. Not good enough. He said, well, I have too. And then some of you do this. Well, I bet I'm better than you. That doesn't take much. People go, well, I'm better than the preacher. Well, that's why God calls preachers in the ministry. They're the worst of the bunch. He says, I got to keep them real close to me. Yeah. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. How many of y'all realize that? How many of y'all have done this? As hard as I try, I can't be everything Jesus wants me to be. And here's where it really messes you up. The Ten Commandments. How many of y'all have kept them? Now, I know in Kentucky we like to go plant them in the yard. I guess we think they help the grass grow or something. And we put Ten Commandments out in the yard. And then there's people that say, you know what? If we put the Ten Commandments in the school, we won't have school shootings. What, are they bulletproof? Now, here's the problem with the Ten Commandments. My faith is not in the Ten Commandments. God gave me the Ten Commandments for one reason. To show me I can't get to heaven without Him doing something. And He did it. His name's Jesus. And Jesus died, because that's what I did when I broke the Ten Commandments. I died in my relationship to God. Jesus died for my sin, and He reconnected us all to heaven. Now, how many of y'all are glad to know you got a connection because of Jesus? Not your good works. And you never know when this thing's coming. And the Son of Man comes in all of His glory. Look what He's going to do. All the nations will be gathered before Him. Look at this. They don't have an option either. Have you noticed that? That is just going to freak people out. Can you imagine all the news channels? Well, we don't want to go to cover this event. You will be covering this event. But you won't be talking this time, and you won't be reporting this time. And we won't have any talk back after He's gone. After He separates, there's not going to be, well, we're going to dialogue this on the commentary later. How many of y'all get tired of the news media treating you all like you're stupid? I mean, it's like, wait a minute. I know English. I know what they said. That's what they said. Now, let's hear what Jesus said. He says He's going to come in all of His glory. Man, that's cool, man. I don't know what all that glory looks like, but it sounds like a good deal. What do you think? All the glory of God. And then there's going to be a moment of separation. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. There's no political connotation there. However, there is a shepherd connotation. A shepherd in this ancient time would always put the sheep on his right because it was the place of protection and intimacy for a shepherd. So they would understand this. So Jesus just said, I'm going to put you beside me. How many of you all have allowed Jesus? You've allowed Jesus. You've said, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. Jesus, I want you to forgive me my sins. I want to be beside you. How many of y'all glad to know you got a Jesus that will get beside you? Now, here's why he gets beside you, so his glory will come through you. Isn't that interesting? How many of y'all realize that we got a purpose to living? Mickey, guess what you're supposed to do every day? Go do your stuff and reveal the glory of God. Isn't that cool? As a daddy, you reveal the what? Glory of God. As a husband, you reveal the glory of God. As a counselor, you reveal the glory of God. Jim, when you're over at the bakery, what are you doing? You baking good stuff, especially them cookies with M&M's in them. That's part of the glory of God. And you revealing what? The glory of God. How many of y'all realize that we have a purpose as believers, and it's not to just, you know, go through the week and make it back to Sunday and go, oh, we made it. Let's sing some more Jesus songs, have a couple more verses. No, as we live, we're revealing the glory of God in everything that we do. Isn't that cool? How many of y'all got children? Guess what they're a part of? Come on, you can talk here. This is not First Hillview. Huh? The glory of God. Isaiah Carlin
Yeager
Willis is a part of the glory of who? God. That's why we bless children. They're part of God's glory. Now, who's going to do the separating? Note this in the scripture. Who does the separating? The shepherd. You stay out of the separating business. How many of y'all want to get in the separating business? How many of y'all ever go, well, I wonder if they're in or I wonder if they're out? I wonder if that's a good type of person or I wonder if that's not. Listen, our job is to live. Just to live. In fact, when I was out at Colorado, I saw one of the greatest bumper stickers I've ever seen. And I love this bumper sticker. I was in Colorado Springs and it said, focus on your own family. I was with that bumper sticker. That bumper sticker said more of truth than the focus on the family. If you'll focus on your family and not worry about everybody else's family and let God's glory be revealed in your family, we'd have a whole lot more families that were better off. How many of y'all sometimes want to focus on somebody else because you really don't want to focus on what God's saying to you? It's called the dodge. It just sounds holy and righteous. Well, let me tell you what he's going to do. There's going to be a separation. Did I tell y'all that? There is a difference if you got Jesus in your life and you don't have Jesus in your life. You say, well, what's the difference? One of them is you're forgiven. How many of y'all glad to be forgiven? I mean, this is a real deal. You're forgiven. When you stand before God, he's going to say, not guilty. I don't know about y'all, but I like being not guilty because I'm guilty. How many of you all are glad to be not guilty because you know you were guilty? Now, and the reason I go here is because you got to know you're guilty before you will want to be made not guilty by Christ. See, this is the myth of Bowling Green. There's a gospel out there that says if you're a nice person and you're polite and you're kind and you're gentle, you don't get in anybody's business, you're a good person, you're going to go to heaven. The only problem with that, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says every human being's fallen short of the glory of God and we need a connection to heaven and his name is Jesus. And he's coming back with the light show this time, everything, the angels. And he begins to separate. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Wow. Hold on. See if you can grasp this. God knew you before you knew yourself. What do you think about that? Let that percolate just a second. God knew you before you knew yourself. I mean, we got all these people out here, they're going, I need to find myself. How many of y'all hear that? We have a whole generation touring through Europe to find themselves. We've had a whole generation, they've been skipping through life doing what? I must find myself. Well, let me just ask you a question. What would happen if you let Jesus discover you? I mean, he already knows you. What would happen if you listened to him on who you were? Now, know what we pick up from this scripture. You are already blessed with an inheritance. Sheriff, what do you think about that? I got an inheritance that you can't collect tax on. I got an inheritance that is not taxable. Somebody say amen. No death tax on heaven's inheritance. Isn't that great? In other words, God said, I have positioned you beside me. So that means, guess what? We can live in the assurance of Jesus right now. Which is, I'm not panicked when he comes back because I believe what he said. Now, how many of y'all, if Jesus was to come back today, you'd be a little nervous? Why? Because you start thinking about all the things, what? You did last night. Instead of thinking about the grace that has been, what? Given to you. How many of y'all glad to know that God's got you taken care of? So don't panic. When you hear people talking about the end of time, don't panic. You have been forgiven by God. You will stand with God. Now let's look. People who follow God make a difference. Why? God creates them, God blesses them, and God holds them to an inheritance. Do you hear that? He'll look at those on his right and he'll say, come, oh blessed. Blessed of my Father. Come, you're mine. How many of y'all glad to know you're God's? If nothing else, walk out of here knowing you're God's. And it's how you want to believe about human life. Which is, I'm pretty clear on the questions, but people ask me, when does human life begin? At conception. Period. Boom. Now some of you ladies are going to go, well, what about my choice? You made a choice when you conceived. There's your choice. And guess what? God granted life. See, here's what I believe. I don't believe women make babies. What do y'all think? I believe women carry babies. Think about it, girls. You can't make one without us. We at least got to drive by. I mean, you didn't think that in your womb. God had a creative process. Hold on. Who made the creative process? It depends what you believe. God. Now watch. You say, well, why do you believe God makes humans? I think God makes all humans, and I believe all humans are worthy of breath. Because God's got a what? Plan. On the right side. You and I get to be on the right side of God. I mean, just think about this for a minute. How many of y'all ever come to this realization? I've been made by God. Boom. I'm a human. Who makes humans? God. And humans can respond to God. That's what makes us so incredibly different than animals. If y'all notice that animals, you don't catch them praying much. I mean, you don't see animals walking around going, wonder what I'm going to do today. They know. I'm going to eat. I'm going to mess up the house when everybody leaves. I'm an animal. I'm a dog. I'm a cat. A cat. What does a cat do? Leaves hair around. That's it. A cat can't hunt. I mean, I look at my cat and say, hey, let's go hunt some doves. Meow. You know why I got a cat? Because your wife always wins. That's why I got a cat. She waited for my dogs to die because I used to have dogs that ate cats. Look at here. A kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. You see, this is where believers are different. We have a different heart and attitude. Now, I want you to hear this. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, this stuff's going to come out of you. And it's natural. I'm going to show you how natural it is. How many of y'all have become parents? Okay. When you became a parent, did you have to have a deep dialogue and a study on whether to feed and clothe and house your children? Mr. Flainer, what do you think? When you got that beautiful baby, first round beautiful baby, all right, did you all have to think about feeding her?
No, she cried with
her. Huh. Did this take study, training, or did this come natural?
It just came.
Yes! That's what I'm telling you. When you get in the new life with Christ, these things are natural. Why? Because you're saved. Look at here. They will answer. And here's what he'll tell them. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came and you visited me. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, let me tell you what. It is natural to bless somebody else. I'm going to tell you why. There's a difference between sheep and goats. Let me tell you the difference. Sheep will follow. How many of y'all have ever seen sheep? They follow. That's why God said, these are my sheep. They follow who?
Me.
Now, Sheriff, you've been around a few goats, haven't you? At 8 o'clock, we got a goat expert. I guess a goat herder is what you would say. He's a goat herder. He has many goats. He even has some of the fainting goats that you saw on TV. Now, if you've been around goats, guess what goats do? They butt you. A goat will put a headbutt on you in a heartbeat. You go get in a pen with a goat, and it'll look at you. You got old goaty beard on it like that. It's got them old horns on it. And it'll walk around. It's all goaty looking like that, kind of thin, old goaty looking. And guess what? You turn your back on a goat, it will butt you. Now, let me tell you what a goat will do. They always butting something. Have you noticed that? Goats are always but. God said, but I'm going to do this. God said, but I don't think it ought to be that way. God said that this is but. You can always detect a goat because they're always carrying one big but. Now y'all know how to detect them. They're always pushing against something. They won't follow anything. A goat demands its own way. A sheep will follow the shepherd. See, a goat won't follow a shepherd. Try to herd a goat. It's like herding a cat. What does a cat do? Tell a cat to go that way and it'll turn right around and go just like that. In fact, I think God should have separated the dogs from the cats. But he said the sheep and the goats. That made sense here. Because it's what goats want to do. They want to do life on their own terms. Here's what sheep end up doing. They will do life and surrender to do it God's terms. And here's what happens if you're going to follow God. Man, I don't want people to be hungry. See, when you come to life, it's natural. Just like when I asked the Fleeners, well, did you all have to think about feeding your child? No, they said it came what? In fact, mommies are even equipped at the moment of birth with natural nutrition supply. Is that not amazing? See, we're not created equal. Men can't do that. We can't do it. That's why the first 6 months as a father, when you hold your child, they go, I'm getting out of here. Ain't nothing good here. And they start crying for who? Mama, they know. They know. They kind of look at you for the first year like, what are you doing here? And then eventually they warm up to you. Yeah. We want people to be fed. We want people to be clothed. We want people to be welcomed. That's our attitude. That's our nature. And Hillview, you've done a good job doing these things. But you know what? I'm going to talk to you a little bit today. We got to amp it up because not everybody's been doing that. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that ought to be your attitude. And you ought to think about that. We're people that bless other people. That's what we do. Why? Because we're saved. Because when the Son of Man comes in all of His glory, guess what? We're all right. And so you know what? When we feed people and we clothe people and we welcome people, it's so that they might know that Jesus Christ is for real. Does that make sense? And then He's going to look at the goats. Let me show you what the goats do. Now guess what? Here's what's so scary. The goats think they're saved. Now notice, Jesus welcomed the righteous. Underline this, He did not welcome the religious. And we got that real confused. Like I had people tell me all the time, well, Pastor Harris, I'm a member of such and such church. So? Well, I'm a Catholic. I'm Assembly of God. I'm charismatic. I'm, you know, double predestination, ultimate hyperdamnation. I don't know, whatever you are. You know, when the Son of Man comes in all of His glory, you better hope you're this, a sheep. And if the Church of Jesus Christ would get to that, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What does it mean to follow Christ? It means, you know what, Jesus? I'm going to believe You've forgiven me of all my sin. You know what, Jesus? I'm going to get the same attitude that You have. Did Jesus feed people when He was here? Opened up the first Long John Silver's, y'all remember? Fish sandwiches for over 5,000, 10,000 people right off the bat. Did He clothe people? Better believe he did. He clothed us in righteousness too. Look at this. Did Jesus welcome people? Yeah, Jesus talked to everybody nobody else would talk to. That's pretty neat, isn't it? Jesus was these things. And you know what? You know what the righteous said? They said, "Hey, when did we see? When did we see you hungry and a stranger and in a hospital, over in prison, Jesus? When did we see you in these moments?" Look what he says. The righteous will answer him, "Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty, give you something to drink? When do we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When do we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these of mine, you did for who? Me." You can sum that up in this. People matter to God. And the church is about people. I wouldn't trade any of you for a program in the church. In church, we got to reform. You know, I hear everybody's going to reform the government. Maybe we need to let Jesus reform the church. Really reform us. And let us know, man, that we need to take care of each other. What do you think? But it's hard for us to take care of each other because sometimes we get a goat mentality, don't we? We walk around going, "I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to be about me. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that." It is so hard in America because everything in America tells you to worship you. Everything. You turn on the TV, worship you. You turn on the radio, worship you. You read the newspaper, what? Worship you. And then we read this Bible that says, worship who? God, Jesus. Exactly right. It says, worship Jesus. Love Jesus. Be in Jesus. How many of y'all are glad to know that you can feed people, you can invite people, you can love people, you can welcome people, you can help people get out of prison? How many of y'all are glad to know you can help people get out of prison? They may not get out of jail, but they can get out of prison. What do you think? Because you know what? A lot of us are prisoners of our own mind. We're goats because we always have but. Watch this. If we could get that conjunction out of our young people, what would they be like? Y'all know I coach high school football. I tell you what, sometimes I have to seal my mouth and ask the Lord Jesus Christ and the angel to seal it. Because guess what I hear from our young people of this generation? They never can say this: "I did it wrong. I'll make the correction." They have 5,000 excuses of why they did it wrong. Guess where they got that? From you. That's the only place they could get it. I remember when I was playing football, I wasn't starting yet, man. I was frustrated. I went and told my dad. I said, "The coach doesn't like me." You know what my dad told me? He said, "You're no good." See, I had a real father. I didn't have a friend. I didn't have a best friend. I didn't grow up with Barney. I had a father. He said, "You haven't paid the price to do that yet." According to our psychological therapist today, that should have crushed my spirit, brought me down to a lowly human being where I was so emotionally crippled I could not function for the rest of my life, so that I could excuse my existence for the rest of my life because of my emotionally crippling father. I'm telling the truth. Your precious baby is everybody else's demon. That's what I'm telling you. Tell them the truth. Truth to set you what? You know what? That truth set me free. And I said, "Dad, what do you need to do?" He said, "I've never played football, but I guess you need to run." So I started running. I started listening. And eventually one day it happened. I'm glad I had a dad like that. Why? He put a standard. He said, "This is what it takes to be on this side." Isn't that neat? This is what it takes to be on this side. And he was a reasonable dad. Because I came home with a C in algebra and he said, "You've done all you can do." He was realistic. My sister went berserk. She goes, "If I brought home a C," he said, "you're not him. This is awesome." God knew he didn't call me to be a mathematician. Do what you are made to do. Look at here. We're made to feed the hungry and welcome the stranger and do wonderful things of God. The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did unto me." I want you to hear me clearly, church. Every human being is important. When you look around Hillview and see we believe that, but I want to believe it even that much more. Nobody gets left out. Nobody. Nobody. Every human being has a shot to be connected to Jesus. What do you think? We got a lot of work here in Warren County. There's 73,000 unchurched people in Warren County. Welcome to our holy city. And we just walk by them every day. I'm not saying you got to wear a big bumper sticker that says, I love Jesus. I'm saying just talk to them and let them know the life you're living. Why don't you feed them and welcome them and let them know they don't have to live in those doubts and those excuses and there is a better life in Jesus Christ. Those would be some great things to let everybody know. Amen. That's the ministry. And then there's those goats. Look what he said. He will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, I know this is not popular, and I know we don't preach on this anymore because it makes you feel bad. Welcome to Hillview. I could care less if you feel bad. There's a lot of things that feel bad. That do a really good job. All you ladies felt bad when you had us. I don't know a mom yet that said, when I was in labor, I was just rejoicing in the Lord. Unless they were on a big morphine drip. That's the only reason they would say that. I was in pain bringing forth what? Life. Well, look at here. Depart from me. You don't want to hear that from God. And here's what I want you to know about hell. It was not designed for you. Note the scripture. An eternal hell prepared for the devil and his what? Angels. You know the only problem with the devil was simply this. He wanted to be God. Goat. Hold on. What got Eve in trouble, y'all remember? Now, don't say because she was a woman, because that's not true. It's because she was a human. What got her in trouble in the garden? There's one tree in the middle of the garden. Don't eat from that tree. What'd she go do? And then what did she do? She shared her sin. What do we do? Nobody likes to get drunk alone. Y'all notice that? You don't ever sin by yourself. You think a group rape, there's something about it or something, you know? I mean, I never looked at myself and said, let's go party. It was always when what? I had the group. Let's go trash ourselves together. Like somehow or another there's a group discount into hell or something. I don't know. If we go in mass, it'll be a little bit better. No. It's nasty. Depart from me. You don't want to hear this because let me tell you what they did. They did it their way. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, you never came. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, stranger, needing clothes, sick, or in prison, and didn't help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do unto me. How many of y'all will have a serious indictment on that in America? Here's the way we are as Americans. How many of y'all care about that some of our brothers and sisters in Texas have been hit by a hurricane? Hold on, I won't leave anybody out. Some on the East Coast have been hit by a hurricane. New Orleans was browsed by a hurricane. We're all in this thing together. Didn't you notice? You ought to know we're a global economy by now. Oil can be under $100 a barrel and we get a hurricane and it still goes up 45 cents. We're in this together. True? So you know what we do? Those of us who follow Christ, we got to decide to be agents of the blessing. You know, what do I need to do? How many of y'all could just show a little hope in the morning? You want to be weird on Monday morning? Just be happy about it. How many of y'all are happy going to work? Let me tell you something. You'll be more happy going to work than you will be unemployed. I'm telling you right now. See, look, but watch. See, we don't appreciate anything. We don't wake up in the morning and say, guess what? How many of y'all wake up in the morning and say, I get to go to work? Anybody? Other than Chris Allen. He's got the only job in America you can be wrong most of the time, still keep your job. True? I love it. Huh? No, come on. How many of y'all are excited about what God's called you to do? You ought to be. Listen, if you work at a restaurant, guess what? You get to give people food. I was hungry and you gave me what? Food. I was thirsty, you gave me what? If y'all would just do this in the morning and freak people out. Be excited at the minute mark when you get your coffee. Just look at somebody and go, hey, man, I had a fabulous day yesterday. They'll look at you and go, "You're on crack, aren't you?" No, no, no. I've been blessed by God. I'm connected to an inheritance. Guys, listen, I'm telling you what, we ought to start living this way. I'm not kidding you. Red, I want you to grow up. I want you to do great things. What do you think about that? Well, it not sounds good. It's going to be. See, that's that goat mentality. Well, it might happen, could happen, may not be. Yeah. We're going to have a sheep mentality. And we're going to say, you know what? In the name of Jesus, not only am I going to claim it, I'm going to become it because I know God's already made it in me. What do you think? Because you never know what you're going to be. Let me tell y'all a true story. When I was over at the Warren Central High School, not one day did I ever dream, imagine that I'd be standing up and preaching to you today. There was not one classroom I walked into and said, you know what? I know God's going to call me to be a preacher. The last thing I ever wanted to be was a preacher. Because back then, preachers had to wear them wingtip shoes and drive an Impala Chevrolet and wear a tie all the time. I said, I ain't doing that, God. I had long hair, drove a four-wheel drive truck, it had a license plate on it, said, "God, guns, and guts, made America, let's keep all three." And I had moved far away from that attitude. That there are some things that we just have to do. We have to be who God's made us to be. Amen? Y'all getting this? Give me a head nod or something because I'm about to finish. You sure? Y'all clapping, I'm about to finish. All right. You just make sure you're a sheep when I finish. All right? That's what I'm worried about. Look at here. Verse 44. They will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you?" And he replied, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Now guess what? You can email me 500 and zillion times and say that you don't agree with that. It's in the Word of God. And it will be. The longer I live, guess what I found? What is in the Word of God will be. Whether you believe it or not, it will be. Whether you agree with God or not, it will be. Let me just humble us all for just a moment. You and I are not big enough to figure out eternity. So I strongly suggest by the grace of God that right now you say, "Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. I want to connect to the inheritance that you have prepared before the foundation of the world because I trust you more than I trust me." So that when the Son of Man comes in all of His glory, you'll be a part of it. Amen? Now I'm finished. But God's not. Some cool stuff today. Church, I want us to amp it up in here. I want us to start praying for people. I love young people. How many of y'all love young people? You know what I love about young people? They hadn't messed up a bunch yet. What do you think? That's what I like about young people. They hadn't totally wrecked the ship yet. Would this be okay? Why not have a church? I think we ought to prevent some stuff. You know what I mean? Sheriff, I think you got enough people down in jail. Don't you have a quota? You've reached it. We're going to put you out of business, son. The only thing you're going to be able to do is eat. Hold on, watch this. Why don't we start at age 2 praying for our children in this congregation? I mean, I want to call this church prayer, man. Can I just share my heart? I am tired as a pastor of seeing train wreck lives that attend church on a regular basis. We got to start praying for our kids. There's crazy stuff out there. Y'all live in the world I live in. There's just cuckoo stuff out there, amen? I mean, I know that's not very sophisticated. There's very complicated issues in the world. I know how to do that. But you know what? I want that baby. I want that baby girl. I want y'all to be the... you got to be the heavenly father that He's called you to be. And mom, you got to be that glory of God as a mom. And that baby girl right there, she's going to have every possibility... Or boy, isn't it? Baby boy. Hold on, let me see you, big boy. Baby boy, let's call him right. That baby boy... going to have every possibility that God's created him. Isn't that what you want? I want that as your pastor. Next week, you're going to be hearing about faith forward. We're going to go crazy. Now, I don't know. Some of y'all may step back and say, "Well, I don't know about that Hillview Heights. They're just getting a little too aggressive for me. I just want to sit and watch." Goat.
Now watch this, I'll get an email. I can't believe you called me a goat.
Repent then. I'm on a mission. I want goats to become sheep in the name of Jesus. And there's a way that that can happen.
First of all, you got to realize you've sinned. How many of y'all can come to that conclusion? You have sinned. Anybody struggle with that? Let me help you. The Big Ten, Ten Commandments. How many of y'all kept all of them?
Probably got some righteous person here going, well, I've kept them. I've not drank, smoked, or chewed.
That's not even on the top ten.
I wear modest clothes
because you need to. I'm talking the top ten. Honor God always with everything you've done in your life. Not me.
How many of y'all have stolen something before? Thieves? I bet the rest of you have been thieves too. How many of y'all have ever peeked on somebody else's test paper in class just to make sure they got the same answer as you? Come on, fess up. Thief. Hmm? Well, I graduated from Warren Central, thank God, to Elizabeth. And I'd get mad at Elizabeth when she'd get the wrong answers. I'd say, honey, I made an 80 on this test. You need to straighten up. Huh? And y'all had that deal? What was I doing? I was stealing. How many of you girls ever borrowed your sister's dress and it went into Never Never Land, never returned to its closet again? Thief. How many of y'all have ever borrowed a CD and it went in your library instead of returned back to the others? We do this stuff. We even sin without knowing we sin. How many of y'all have ever committed adultery? 3, 4, 5. We don't usually get a lot of volunteers on that one right there. That's one of the big ones everybody kind of... Especially if you're sitting by your wife. Everybody's like, man, I ain't committing no adultery. I don't know y'all talking about it. Hold on. Before you get real holy, the Bible says, Jesus said, if you think on such a person and even think it... Now, you don't have to raise your hand if you're sitting by your wife. But how many of y'all have ever thought it before? See, inside of me, my nature's not connected to heaven. That's why it needs to be redeemed. Does everybody understand this? It needs to be redeemed. It said, do not covet. How many of y'all have coveted stuff? How many of y'all even coveted on the way into church? Looked in the parking lot and go, well, how'd they get a car like that? I tell you what, it just ain't fair. I tell you how they got a car like that. There's two ways to get a car like that. They worked really hard and did great with their life, and God provided and He prospered, and that's still a cool thing to do. Congratulations. Or they are in debt up to their eyeballs. It's one of the two. See what I'm saying? Don't covet. Here's what I see a lot of young couples doing all the time. How many of y'all look at other young ladies? Please don't do this. Don't look at older men that have been married for 30 years and wish your husband could be like that. I want to give you the truth, okay? Those men were just like your husband 30 years ago. It's that they had been beat on and chiseled and polished for 30 years. That's what happened to them. What happens? I'll be doing counseling. People go, these ladies, little girls will go, how do you know that? Because I could be your daddy. You know, I've been around a while. Elizabeth straightened me out through the power of the Holy Spirit. We got to embrace life. Feed the hungry. Welcome the stranger. Drink of water to the thirsty. Why not let Jesus in your life today? Amen? That's why we're here. We're here to pray. I want you to come pray for your families, for your children. There are no guests at Hillview, so this altar is open to everybody. We don't have guests here. Watch this. You came today. Some of you don't even know why you came today. So, well, I can't see somebody get baptized. Really? That may have just been God getting you here so you could hear the rest of the story. Who knows? God came with a message today. Amen. Well, stand with me. We're going to have a moment here at the altar. Feel free to come and pray, talk, discuss. Let God move in your life. I want you to just pray with me for a moment. If you've already asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, we want to open the altar up for those who are going to come and say, you know what, I need to be baptized. You saw these beautiful children, these beautiful girls giving confession and baptism today. You say, do I need to do that? Yes, if you've been saved, you need to be baptized. You ready? How many of y'all are going, why do I need to be baptized? Here is why. Jesus said so. Sheep, they do what the shepherd says. But you need to ask Him into your life. And right now you need to say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I want You to save me. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what?
sin. He's going to do it right now. Grace, grace. Maybe you need to come today and just say, you know what, God? I want to praise you for the life I'm living, and I want to make sure I carry out your attitude in this world. I want to be a sheep, amen? I want to live like a sheep. And so I just want to open the altar for a moment. I want you all to remember the Aller family. Jerry Aller, one of our good brothers, he started here at Hillview. Started in the very beginning of this crazy thing. He passed away Friday. But you know what? He stepped into heaven as a sheep, Harold. And he could look at the doctors because he had confidence in his faith. He had confidence in his Jesus. You know what he told the doctors? He said, we're not doing anymore, didn't he, Shane? He said, no. I'm going to the house. And I'm going to tell you all, I'm going to tell you like it is. When you know Jesus Christ and they're ready to stick 500 cords in you, you can look and say, no. I'm going to the house. I'm going to the house. You can join the Apostle Paul. You say, I've fought a good fight. I've run the race. I've fed the hungry. Given water to the thirsty. Clothed a few naked folk along the way. Been to the prison and helped them open the doors. Been an encouragement of God's glory because God changed my life forever. I'm going to the house. I'm going to go be on the right hand. And when that day comes, when all humanity and all the nations and all human history stand before Him, when He comes in all of His glory and the angels with Him, how many of you all can make this beautiful confession? That's my Jesus. That's my Lord. That's my God. And He comes with all of heaven. And I am beside Him because of an old rugged cross in an empty tomb and a Holy Spirit that has drawn me closer and closer to Jesus. Amen. Father who art in heaven, thank you for being here also. Now bring us to the altar as you encourage us. If you need to come and pray, our pastors are already at the altar. They're ready to pray with you. If you need to be baptized, slide down here. We're going to talk about baptism. If you need to be prayed over, you're hurting, you busted up this week, and you just want a pastor to pray with you. Man, if you fight an addiction like a lot of us do, come and say, God, help me stay clean this week. I don't want back down that road. I don't want back down that road. Lord, embrace me. This altar's open right now. You all come on. Come on right now and let Jesus have it, okay? Let Jesus have your life. Come on, don't stand there today. Right now, the altar's released. You don't have to wait for Him to sing. Come on. Come on. God's calling you. You come right now. Thank you. Thank you. Bless Him, Lord. Bless Him, Lord. Bless Him, Lord. Bless Him, Lord.